From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Broadcasting from the heart of our nation's capital, we bring you the latest insights, analysis, and interviews on the most pressing issues facing you and your family. Today's headlines, they're buzzing with significant developments from the U.S. Supreme Court's decision regarding election lawfare to groundbreaking legislation targeting the Chinese Communist Party. We will also delve into the controversial issue of abortion pills hitting the market and the urgent warning about America's escalating debt crisis. So let's dive in to our lead stories today. In a significant blow to the left's efforts, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that Colorado cannot remove Donald Trump from the ballot.
You cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that, and the Supreme Court saw that very well.
That was former President Donald Trump earlier today after the Supreme Court's unanimous ruling. This decision marks a pivotal moment in the 2024 election as it sets a crucial precedent for future electoral challenges. We'll unpack the implications of this unanimous ruling and what it means for the upcoming presidential election a little bit later with J. Christian Adams, the president of Public Interest Legal Foundation. By the way, speaking of elections, tomorrow is Super Tuesday with voters in 16 states going to the polls. So if you live in one of those 16 states, you need to go vote. If you need resources, go to frcaction.org. That's frcaction.org. We've got some resources there for you. Oklahoma Congressman Kevin Hern, chairman of the House Republican Study Committee, has unveiled major legislation aimed at countering the growing influence of the Chinese Communist Party.
It is astounding to me that a company like TikTok, run by ByteDance, which does joint ventures with the Chinese Ministry of State Security in artificial intelligence, we are giving them unfettered access to young people in our country and pretending like, oh, there's nothing here to worry about.
That was author and China expert Peter Schweitzer yesterday on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures. As concerns mount over China's aggressive tactics on the global stage, Congressman Hern's initiative is a bold step towards safeguarding America's national security and economic interest. We're going to explore the details of this comprehensive legislative proposal and its potential impact on U.S.-China relations with Congressman Hern in just a moment. In a controversial move, Walgreens and CVS have announced plans to sell the abortion pill over the counter. Now, this comes just as the U.S. Supreme Court prepares to rule on the matter.
It's absolutely a game changer. This type of dispensing is going to be huge for patients who struggle to travel. We're going to see much better health outcomes. It's been shown to be safe and effective. And the opposition on the other side cannot really counter that evidence.
That was Rabia Yukata at the Center for Reproductive Rights. Now, we're going to examine the ethical and legal implications of these sales, and we'll also take a look at the upcoming Supreme Court case involving the abortion pill. Well, amidst these pressing issues, a Wharton Business School professor is warning that America's debt is a ticking time bomb. With mounting concerns over fiscal responsibility and the long-term sustainability of government spending, this warning serves as a sobering reminder of the economic challenges facing our nation. We'll hear insights from economist and former Trump economic advisor Stephen Moore on how we can address this looming crisis and secure America's financial future. But before we dive in to all of these issues, let's remember the bedrock principles that guide us here at Washington Watch: faith, family, and freedom. These are not just words, but values that form the very foundation of our nation's greatness. So whether you're joining us from the heart of D.C. or from the heartland of America, I encourage you to stand up, speak up, and be a part of the solution. Well, with Super Tuesday tomorrow, this morning, the U.S. Supreme Court's unanimous decision that that individual states may not unilaterally disqualify a former President Donald Trump from their presidential ballots is a big decision. This decision stops the efforts by Colorado, Maine, and other states to keep former President Trump off the ballot. And it comes at a time when multiple national polls indicate the former president holds the lead in crucial swing states amid deep dissatisfaction with President Biden and his administration. Join me now to discuss this and much more is Congressman Kevin Hern. He serves on the House Ways and Means Committee and is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Oklahoma. Congressman Hern, welcome back to the program. Great to see you.
Tony, it's great to be with you.
Before we jump into China, which is what I want to talk with you about, your reaction to the Supreme Court decision today.
Well, I think what the president said, President Trump said, was exactly right. A state, a group of people can't just arbitrarily keep somebody off the ballot because they don't like our politics. The Supreme Court, certainly unanimous decision. Well, you had three of them that didn't agree with the majority ruling, but they still said it was unconstitutional what happened in Colorado and what's happening in Illinois, attempting there, and certainly in Maine. And we're going to have a free and fair election, it looks like. And so we need to, you know, we continue to say great job, Supreme Court.
Yes, the lawfare aspect of the challenges by the left toward Donald Trump, at least as it comes to the ballot, have ended. But I'm sure the left is going to continue to try to keep either voters from voting from him or keep him in court to try to keep him distracted.
Well, you're already seeing members of Congress, Swalwell and others, that are trying to get Donald Trump off the ballots across America, which is really sad to see that they are so fearful that Joe Biden is going to lose. They're going to do anything they can to remove his competition. And as much as Nikki Haley would like to think that she's competitive in this race, she's not, and she needs to move aside and let this race become the two-person race that it should be.
So, Congressman Hern, let's talk about one of these big issues facing the country that often get lost in the day-to-day politics, and that is the issue of China. Last week, House Republicans, under your leadership in the Republican Study Committee, introduced the Countering Communist China Act. Now, this is billed as the strongest anti-Chinese Communist Party legislation in history of the Congress. Let's talk about why it's necessary and what it would do.
Well, certainly when you see what China is doing, their economic prowess. So our GDP is $23 trillion. Theirs is approaching $18 trillion. Third place is $4 trillion, which is Germany and Japan. So they're neck and neck at third place, but not even close. And when you see, you know, we've become kind of comfortable with the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean as sort of our barriers. But certainly what they're doing in South America, they're building major infrastructure projects, taking over South America, moving up through Panama, Honduras, Ecuador, all through the South American continent. And then when we're seeing fentanyl come across our southern border, that all the precursors are coming from China and being manufactured in Mexico. Fentanyl is not flowing south. It's not flowing to Europe or it's not flowing to Asia. It's coming into the United States of America to kill people. When you look at what's happening with the human rights violations with the Muslim Uyghurs, a million, and all the genital mutilations that are going on, slave labor. There's many things that we found out during COVID that, you know, 90% of our active ingredients for our medicines are made in China, sourced from China. When you look at trade policies, certainly not fair at all. You heard the one gentleman that was talking to Maria that said, you know, it's insane what we're seeing with TikTok. They're collecting our data, and we've got to stop that. So this bill attacks every one of those issues and more.
Congressman Hern, as I've read through the legislation and, of course, your statements and our conversations we've had about this as well, this approaches China as America's greatest adversary, a threat to our sovereignty. This juxtaposed to the Biden administration that just says, oh, we don't want conflict with China. We just want fair competition. How can you have both?
Well, certainly China doesn't look at it that way. I think people, you know, mistake that Xi Jinping is the president of China. His official title is the general secretary of the Communist Chinese People. And so he's a communist, certainly different than Russia in a sense that they have the economic prowess to do what they need to do. They have the military prowess to do what they need to do. They're talking about a 500-ship military navy by 2030. And we're going to be about 300 ships. We know that they're, you know, marching around and around Taiwan to try to scare off any of the Western nations. And then again, as I mentioned, what they're doing economically through South America, and, you know, they're trying to avoid a lot of our trade sanctions by going to Cambodia and Vietnam and setting up companies there that are funded by China. There's not a company in China that's not owned by China. And so it's different than us competing in the free marketplace.
Let's talk about how they're getting a foothold with young people. Peter Schweizer was talking just a moment ago, that clip I played about TikTok and how that is connected to the Chinese Communist Party and the military. How does this address what China is trying to do, kind of what we would describe maybe as a soft invasion of our country?
Well, certainly they're doing things like TikTok where they're collecting data and, you know, children today, kids today, I'd say middle-aged people, pretty much all Americans, even the president, President Biden has a TikTok account. When you're looking at what they're doing to find out your the moves you're making, what interests you, it gives them the ability to, you know, to attack you on many fronts. When we look at the Confucius Institutes that have been in our universities in the United States for a decade or more, when you look at what they're doing in our K-12s, you know, trying to say we're here to culturally educate Americans on what China is, but basically it's indoctrination. And, you know, even the Democrat Party has pushed back on this narrative. The former Speaker, Speaker McCarthy, tried in 2019 to get a joint committee. We were in the minority then. Speaker Pelosi, leader of the House, did not want to do it. She didn't see China as a threat. And a year ago, when we became in the majority in 2022, Speaker McCarthy set this up, a bipartisan approach, where there are a lot of Democrats on the committee as well, chaired by Mike Gallagher, to come forward. And it's yielded a lot of information. We've taken the task of going and creating this China bill, you know, the what's happening with China, what they're doing to us as Americans, and we need to push back, and we need to become smarter than what we've been in the recent years.
This legislation would allow the U.S. government to do what?
Well, certainly be punitive toward and create sanctions if we don't reduce the fentanyl deaths by 98%. It would sanction companies. It would sanction individual Chinese bureaucrats, company leaders across the world where we have the ability to do so. It would go directly after the financial institutions that China is using to fund these different programs they're doing across not only the United States, but, you know, certainly the Western nations.
Final question for you, Congressman Kevin Hearn. Consumers in America have a role to play in this as well. I mean, we're fueling, in many ways, this Chinese engine, as you said, they're approaching $18 trillion in their GDP.
Well, China is our largest trading partner, and we are their largest trading partner. The only reason they have a foothold in America is because consumers in America are wanting cheaper products, and China's been delivering that. And President Trump pointed that out with creating tariffs to give our manufacturers in America the foothold, the necessary opening to create products here that consumers want. And we need to listen to that. I think it will be a different relationship. I know it will be under President Trump. And been under President Biden.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that front. It'll be different in a lot of ways. Congressman Kevin Hearn, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be tracking very closely this piece of legislation.
Thanks, Tony.
Folks, I would say, look, we need to be responsible in our consumerism. Where do we buy things from? I try, if at all possible, not to buy anything made in China. I know it's very difficult, but I'm not going to fuel what they're doing. And it goes much further than what we even scratched the surface of today. All right, after the break, we're going to take a deeper legal analysis of today's Supreme Court decision. So don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Monday. Be sure and check out the website, tonyperkins.com. Resources there for you, as well as information about our guest here on Washington Watch. Well, as I discussed before the break, in a decision today, U.S. Supreme Court restored former President Donald Trump to the presidential ballot in Colorado and other states, attempting to unilaterally remove him from leading an alleged insurrection on January the 6th, 2021. The court basically saying that's not your role to play. Of course, this decision was not particularly surprising. After all, not a single January 6th defendant has been charged with insurrection, despite the ability for prosecutors to bring such cases before a grand jury in Washington, D.C. But it was a very welcome decision. So what conclusions can we draw from this unanimous decision, and what can we anticipate moving forward as November approaches? Joining me now to discuss this, J. Christian Adams, president of Public Interest Legal Foundation, whose group filed a brief in the case arguing that President Trump needed to be kept on the ballot. Christian, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Hey, Tony.
So first, let me get your reaction to today's decision.
Like you said, not a surprise. 9-0 is about what I thought it would be, maybe 8-1. But hey, 9-0 is a rare thing. And so therefore, the legal issues involved were not that surprising. I think what's a shame is there's folks out there who are pushing this case, the Colorado Secretary of State, Maine Secretary of State, Sheena Bellows is another one. Then you had people like Judge Luttig, and a whole bunch of other people who signed on the so-called right of center side, the never Trump side. I think these people really need to make an accounting for what they dragged the country through in this.
I mean, this is a slapdown. 9-0, essentially, the decision here. I mean, nobody stood on their side. I mean, this is a slapdown.
And it should be. The Constitution, Tony, sets the criteria for running for president, not the Colorado Secretary of State. And that's exactly what the court ruled today, is that we turn to the words of the Constitution for the rules, not man-made rules, or I guess they're man-made in a way, but it's a higher law in the Constitution. We don't look toward bureaucrats in Denver and Augusta and elsewhere to define what our country's all about. That's what the founders did when they set out the three criteria, 35, natural-born citizen, and not of the same state as your vice president. That's what the law says.
So, Christian, doesn't this, I mean, I think just stepping back, trying to be dispassionate about it, this seems to, I think, discredit everything that the left is doing, because they've just thrown everything they can at former President Trump to try to stop him from going forward.
Yeah, that was my point about holding those accountable who are driving this case. Look, you can look up all the academics and all of the Never Trumpers and the Bulwark and Sheena Bellows, the Maine Secretary of State, Colorado Secretary Jenna Griswold. These are the people who substituted their own version of the law for what the law actually is, the 9-0 decision that only the Constitution can define the criteria for president, and that state officials can't remove people running for federal office from the ballot. It's cut and dried, 9-0. Why are these people dragging the country through this?
Now, special counsel Jack Smith has been on President Trump's tail like white on rice, tracking him, looking at everything they possibly can. But he didn't indict President Trump for insurrection, even though a D.C. grand jury surely would have gone along with this. So what does this tell us about these officials that were running out, you know, championing this thing that somehow the president was leading an insurrection?
Well, it tells us how flimsy their arguments were. Not only was it 9-0, not only was he not indicted. In fact, Tony, he was acquitted by the Senate. The one body that actually spoke to this issue, the United States Senate, when it acquitted the president of all the charges in the impeachment, that was the only guidance we got from a deliberative body, and it was acquittal, not conviction. So all of this is a big, giant mess that should have never happened.
So what implications, Christians, does this have on other legal action that we might see between now and November the 4th? Does this put a lot of that to rest, or the left just doesn't know when to go home?
Well, don't forget, they've got about 4 other tracks going. They've got the New York track, they've got the document track, they've got the Atlanta track. So it really doesn't cross tracks with those other cases. Those cases are going to keep on chugging. What you're going to watch now is the lunacy amp up, where they say we should have Congress decide that he engaged in insurrection. They could only do that from about January 2nd to January 20th, but you're actually seeing some of that talk out there. And I've warned all day long in other interviews that's like the folks firing at Fort Sumter. You don't want to drag the country any further down this road. It's extraordinarily dangerous. You lost 9-0. Give it up now on this insurrection stuff.
J. Christian Adams, when you look at all of this, you talked about the 4 tracks that they've got going against President Trump, and then I would add another. I think the Christian nationalism is an effort to suppress voter turnout among the president's key voters, evangelical Christian voters. Why are they so afraid of Donald Trump? What is it that frightens the left about Donald Trump?
Let's do a whole show on this, but here's the short version. He is unafraid to break their idols up, whether it's political correctness, whether it's race obsession, whether it's America is bad, whether it's illegal aliens should be tolerated. Whatever it is, he is willing to shatter the idols of the left and not be afraid. Look, I served in the Bush administration during the Bush years in the Justice Department. They were terrified of the New York Times. Trump is exactly the opposite. That's another idol of the left, the New York Times. So Trump is unafraid to shatter these idols. And he doesn't fear it. He actually enjoys it. It's kind of fun. And I think that just so disturbs the left that he is calling them out and ridiculing their 40-year trophies that they've acquired, 50, 60, whenever you want to start the march through the institutions. Trump is calling it out and saying, this is not what America is all about. It's about free speech. It's about equality. It's about opportunity. And I think that just rattles them to their core.
I think you hit it right on the head. You hit the nail on the head, Christian. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to see you. J. Christian Adams.
Take care, Tony.
You know, the darkness always gets upset when you start tearing down their idols. J. Christian Adams hit the nail on the head with that one. All right, after the break, FRC recently filed an amicus brief in the upcoming Supreme Court case regarding chemical abortion pills. Well, this comes as the nation's largest pharmacy chains want to begin selling those pills over the counter this month. In fact, it was announced today. We're going to talk about that next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Monday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. The nation's two largest pharmacy chains, CVS and Walgreens, announced they will begin selling the chemical abortion pill, mifepristone, as early as this month, over the counter. Now, this announcement comes even as the March 26 date for oral arguments before the Supreme Court that will decide whether the FDA's 2016 and 2021 actions approving chemical abortion pills were in violation of federal statute. Now, Family Research Council, together with post-abortion expert Dr. Martha Schuping, filed an amicus brief in the case focusing on the harms to women from these drugs, the way they intersect with our medical system, and the way in which intimate partner violence intersects with provisions of abortion and the abortion pill. Joining me now to discuss this is Chris Gasek, Senior Fellow for Regulatory Affairs here at the Family Research Council, who led the effort for FRC in the drafting and formation of the written arguments in our brief. Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
It's always good to see you.
So at issue in this case, the Food and Drug Administration's approval of the chemical abortion drug mifepristone, as well as the agency's 2016 and 2021 removal of health safeguards for women and girls. Now, this pill has been around for a while, but it's been heavily regulated, requiring medical interaction, and these rules remove that. Tell us about where we stand.
Right. So in 2000, when the drug was approved, FRC and we have always said that the original approval was inadequate in terms of, you know, the safeguards put in place by FDA. And we've never backed off of that for an inch. But in 2016, under the Obama administration, just as it was heading out, and then the Biden administration in 2021, they further weakened the safeguards. And then I think the goal is to basically get it to the point where it's essentially dispensed in a pharmacy without any supervision. So like Walgreens and CVS are probably going to be giving it out in their clinics. And, you know, you go and you meet someone there and you have to sign some forms. But the main thing that I think happened in 2016 was that they removed the presence of physicians in the process altogether. And then they also didn't require that the person take the mifepristone tablet in the presence of the you know, the prescriber, the person giving it out. And that sort of allowed, it seemed to us, the possibility that people would could take the pills for other people or use the things in other ways. But right. The main thing to me was, and also there was another thing that they did, was they made these major changes in the dosages and the methods of administration, but they also stopped requiring non-fatal adverse event reporting. So if you had a really bad reaction but you didn't die, you didn't have to report it, which is, you know, the FDA just almost like covering its own tracks in this thing. It was really horrible. But getting the doctors out was a big problem.
So this would, there's no connection with a doctor. So this is,
right.
is, and I think part of our argument in our brief is that this allows big pharma, if you will, to cash in those that are pushing the abortion pill and leaves everyone else to pick up the pieces, because it's estimated we'll see thousands of women that will end up in ERs, in emergency rooms, being treated for the adverse consequences of this abortion pill. And where's going to be big pharma? They're not even connected to it. CVS, Walgreens, and others who will be pushing these pills, they'll get off scot-free.
Right. This is a big realization that I had. I mean, I've been following this for 20 years. And it just sort of struck me the right way, looking at the, you know, just the filings and the by Alliance Defending Freedom, but also going back and looking at the documents. The doctors who are suing here are basically emergency room doctors who are the unwitting recipients of these patients. And back in 2000, when FDA approved the regimen, what they did was, and the doctors have always opposed this, the pro-life doctors, they always wanted physicians involved who had admitting privileges in hospitals, so that, because there's a 4% failure rate, and the FDA and the top abortion researchers will admit 3 to 5, I mean, we basically say 4% of the patients who take this drug will need to have emergency room services, right? So what's going to happen to those people? Once you take the doctors out of the equation who don't have admitting privileges, that means you're basically doing ER dumping. And so the last step of this, let me just make one quick point. Guttmacher Institute, the pro-abortion think tank, released its 2020 survey of abortion, and 53% of all abortions in the United States are now chemical abortions. But they reached about 500,000 of the chemical abortions. So 4% of 500,000 is, you would expect 20,000 of these visits each year. It's just shocking.
Right.
And so ER, Walgreens and CVS, I don't think they know what they're getting themselves into here.
The one other aspect, very quickly, we're out of time, Chris,
sure.
is this will cover up violence that may be taking place between men and women. A woman that finds herself pregnant could be being abused. That one connection with the doctor could be the right. unveiling of that abuse.
And in 2021, they shifted to telemed, which is, makes it even worse, right? They allowed that. So you're exactly right. The traffickers, all sorts of people can go and get these, and women who are under sort of very coercive circumstances won't even have to go into a facility to get these things.
Keeping them entrapped in these oppressive, abusive relationships. Chris Gacy.
You want contact with doctors. You want them to have contact. And that's what
could be the
eliminated.
Out for them. Could be the out.
Yes.
Chris Gacy, great work on the brief. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
By the way, folks, FRC delivered a petition with more than 51,000 signatures to Walgreens and CVS earlier in the year, or last year. Think about where you buy your drugs, your legal drugs, that is. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch after this.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Hey, welcome back to Washington Watch. As I was saying, as we were, the clock was running on this and we were up against the break. When you think about the pharmacies that you use, CVS, Walgreens, now they're not going to do it in states that outlaw the use of the abortion pill, but it's one big company, and so your profits are going to the profits they make off of your business, they're going to use. So I would strongly suggest you look at a local pharmacist. I do. I use a local pharmacist. I'm not going to use those chains, especially now that they've delved into becoming neighborhood abortion clinics, is essentially what they've become. By the way, I want to thank those of you who have responded to our petition to Politico. That is a kind of a national political journal, leftist rag. They're the ones, their correspondent, Heidi Prisabella, was the one that went on basically saying Christians who vote are Christian nationalist. I'm summarizing. And so if you haven't signed that petition, let me encourage you to do so. You can sign it by texting the word Politico, that's P-O-L-I-T-I-C-O, to 67742, that's 67742, or go to TonyPerkins.com. It should be an action item there, and you can follow the links over. But sign that petition, because actually today we have a, actually it'll be, I think it'll be circulating tomorrow, is a vehicle, a mobile billboard. I think we've got a picture of it if you're watching online. It's basically the Bill of Rights for Dummies. It reminds him of what the Bill of Rights says, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. In that whole story, I'll go into it tomorrow. I won't do it now. But anyway, go to TonyPerkins.com, sign that petition to Politico. Our word for today comes from Leviticus 18. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. you shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Now, don't miss this. Here's the prescription for life that God's laying out there. It's found in these words and the ways of God. Jesus said this in John 10:10. I have come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. How is that? Well, Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In God's word and in his way is life. To find out more about our journey through the Bible, go to frc.org/Bible or text the word Bible to 67742. That's Bible to 67742 and join us on our journey through the Bible. Well, since the alarming news that the U.S. national debt permanently crossed the $34 trillion threshold earlier this year, the debt now increases by about $1 trillion nearly every 100 days. Now, this has led economists to sounding the alarm that the reckoning for this debt burden in the worldwide financial market could arrive sooner rather than later. Will government debt become the economic issue of the next decade? And how can this crisis be avoided if it's not too late? Joining me now to discuss this and more, Stephen Moore. He's a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation and senior economist at Freedom Works. He was an economic advisor to former President Trump. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, great to be with you.
Now, I'm playing your music because you've been warning of this for a long time, the national debt rising by $1 trillion every 100 days. Put that in context for us.
Well, you know, the numbers are just so large now, it's hard for people to really comprehend them. But we're talking about almost $300,000 of debt for every family, which is a gargantuan amount of money. And by the way, Tony, you know, you and I, we're getting older, right? We're probably not going to bear the burden of this. You and I will probably be in our grave by the time, you know, that these massive debts come due. I call this fiscal child abuse because it's your children and grandchildren and mine that are really going to pay the cost of this. And what kind of great nation does this, Tony? What kind of great nation, and we're the richest and greatest nation on earth, passes its bills on to its kids and its grandkids? I think it's immoral.
Now, Steve, we're talking about Congress. I mean, they're the ones that keep spending, but it's the American people that keep, you know, by and large, keep demanding. They keep electing the same people who are spending this amount of money.
Well, I think that it's going to be something that in November of this year, I hope people respond to this in a thundering disapproval to Congress and the guy in the White House, because, you know, we have the most financially reckless president in American history. And by the way, Tony, I didn't believe that anybody could be more financially reckless than Barack Obama, but Biden has been worse. And it's amazing because, remember, he said he was going to unify the country. He hasn't unified it. Where's all the money going? I'll give you one example. He's already approved roughly $150 billion, not million, $150 billion for student loan bailouts. And wait a minute, Tony. Congress never approved that through an authorization of funds. And the Supreme Court has said loud and clear in its cases that the president does not have authority to do this. And yet he's gone ahead and done it.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what you said. We're going to be long and gone when this debt comes due. What I'm seeing increasingly is that many of those who really have no regard for the law, they just go ahead and do it, knowing that, like in his case, he's going to be long gone before the courts actually ever get to adjudicating the illegal activity of this administration.
Well, you know, what's ironic and you know, bitterly ironic is this president accuses Donald Trump of being a threat to democracy. But when you have a president who openly, and by the way, he's openly doing this, he's boasting of the fact that he's ignoring Congress, ignoring a directive of the Supreme Court. I mean, that he should be impeached for that. For, you know, the Supreme Court is the final word on what's legal in this country, the last time I checked. And so this is deadly serious, folks. This is as serious as a heart attack. This kind of spending is a result of something called modern monetary theory, which is this dingbat idea of some second-rate left-wing economists who told Biden, oh, we could just spend as much money and borrow as much money as we want, and it won't have negative consequences. Well, look what's happened already to interest rates. Interest rates keep climbing and climbing. Look what happened to inflation. That inflation didn't happen by accident. It happened because of the massive trillions of dollars of spending that Biden spent and borrowed.
So a Wharton School of Business professor, Gomez, is warning that this could trigger something in the markets, because as you're talking about, the Fed is probably going to have to reduce interest rates because we can't keep servicing the debt. I mean, we're spending trillions on interest on our debt alone. Something's going to break here.
So when Trump left office, and look, I'm a little biased. I worked for Trump, as you said. I was one of his senior economists, and I'm helping him now because I think it's so important that he get back in the White House for the good of our economy. But when he left office, the interest rate was 3%, Tony, 3%. Now it's, 6.5% for a mortgage. And that's making it an article today in the Wall Street Journal that more and more Americans, young Americans, cannot afford the American dream of owning a home. Because it used to be under Trump, you had to have about a $65,000 annual income to buy a median value home. Now it's $105,000 because of the higher cost. And it's going to get worse if we keep borrowing and spending like this.
So let's talk about how we get this under control as a nation. Obviously, we've got to vote for the right people. And I was talking earlier with J. Christian Adams about why the left is just scared to death of Donald Trump. I mean, they're trying everything they can to keep him from being the next president. Well, as you mentioned, you were and continue to be an economic advisor to the president. Well, they're unloading on you as well, because they're afraid of the president's economic policies, because it basically kicks the pigs out of the trough and it puts the American people first.
So I can't even improve on that, Tony. You're exactly right. And we have a plan. I asked the president how long it would take him, the President Trump, that is, to, revive the economy. He said, give me 6 months and we'll be back to where we were. And, I told the president this too, Tony, because I had dinner with him a couple of weeks ago. I said, the case for you for president is very easy. You just, when you debate Joe Biden, and by the way, who knows if it's going to be Joe Biden as the Democratic nominee, given his mental state. But if he does, he just has to do. Remember, Tony, what Ronald Reagan said to the American people when he debated Jimmy Carter. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Because I tell you, I'm not. And I think, two thirds of Americans say they're not better off because of the high inflation and the recklessness of this president.
I can't imagine anybody, unless they're in his inner circle, that would say they're better off. I mean, the world is a more volatile and dangerous place. I mean, no one is better off today.
Well, people who work for the government are better off, and people in the swamp. I'm in the swamp, and we're doing just fine. It's Main Street America that's got.
I've been, like you said, we've been around a while. I've been been here at FRC for 21 years. I've never failed to see the skyline of Washington, D.C. without a crane. I mean, they're constantly building in the swamp, where the rest of the country feels the contractions of the economy. Washington, D.C. continues to be fat and happy because of the bureaucrats and the government money that's spent there.
Well, one of the things that Trump is talking about is moving a lot of these agencies out of Washington. And boy, does the Washington bureaucrats get angry about that. He tried to do that with some of the departments of the interior, and none of the government workers wanted to go. They don't want to go out of that. They don't want to see what's happening in real America. They live in a bubble. And so I love that idea. Let's downsize the federal government. Let's move stuff out of Washington. There's a reason, by the way, Tony, that three of the five wealthiest counties in the United States are in Washington, D.C. And we don't produce anything. All we produce is laws and lawyers and regulators and politicians.
And headlines for the local political reporters. I want to go back we got a few minutes left, Steve. The economic forecasters, they use this language such as of death spiral or market rebellion. And in plain English, what does that mean for families across America? What do we need to be anticipating, and what do we need to do?
Well, if we continue on the course that Biden has put us on, then what's going to happen very soon is that the fastest and biggest component of our federal government will not be roads or bridges or national defense or healthcare or our education system. We'll just be paying taxes primarily to pay off the interest on the debt. And that is a crisis. That's what happens in countries like Mexico and Argentina and Venezuela and Zimbabwe. They get in trouble. So we can't keep doing this. Something has to give here. You ask me if there will be a financial crisis. I guarantee you there will be a financial crisis sometime in the next 5 years if we continue to do this. Now, I can't tell you it's going to happen in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, but it will happen because there's no other way out.
So we're going to see probably the Fed is going to have to use some of the tools that they've used in the past, monetizing our debt. I mean, we're going to be seeing more money printing. I mean, that's really robbing the American people, because those who have saved and have value, they lose the value of the money that they have saved.
Well, look at other countries that have done what we're doing right now. The story never, never has a happy ending.
Yeah.
You see what happened in Argentina, where they had 200% inflation per year. And that's happened in so many other countries. Why are we so stupid that we're following in their footsteps? I mean, now this is, look, I don't want to be too dour here and dire, because we know this can be fixed. Trump can fix it, just like Reagan, you know, fixed the problems that he inherited from Jimmy Carter. And so this can be fixed, but it's going to take new leadership, folks. It really does. And new leadership in Congress, frankly.
And the clock is ticking. I mean, we can fix it, but there's going to come a point where we're beyond fixing it. And I think we're getting pretty close. I think this election is going to be absolutely essential that we get it right if we're going to fix this and change the trajectory that we're currently on.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to what Biden's been saying, he thinks that there's $2 trillion of spending he didn't get that he wants to get in his next $2 trillion on top of everything else. He wants to raise tax rates to above 50%. He's going to try to, you know this, he's going to try to pack the Supreme Court. They're going to try to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate. They're going to make Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico states. They're going to jerry-rig the system so they never lose power again.
Yeah. The only solace we can find there is he's probably not going to remember what he said. So I just hope he forgets. Stephen, final question for you. We need to be voting. We need to. What can we do as citizens when it comes to the debt? Because in many ways, the government reflects where we are. We kind of live on debt and credit, and that's not a good way to live.
No, that's a great point. And I'm not a financial advisor, but I'll tell you know, just say this, that, you know, you've seen these numbers, Tony. The last time I was on your show, I mentioned it. We have over $1 trillion of personal credit card debt. And folks, that's not a good way to borrow. It's not, you know, because they'll charge you 20, 25, 30% interest on that. And so you get in the same problem that government gets in. You're working harder and harder just to pay the interest on the debt that you owe. So my advice to Americans financially is pay your bills on time. Don't live beyond your means. Washington thinks it can do that, but yeah, you and I and the people listening to this show cannot.
Don't follow the example of big government.
Right.
It doesn't work. Stephen Moore, always great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony.
You know, folks, the Bible speaks a lot about this, about fiscal responsibility. You know, the borrower is servant to the lender, and it needs to start in our own homes. We need to live fiscally ourselves and then expect our government to do the same. And we should elect leaders that do that. All right, folks, we're out of time for today, but I want to thank you for joining us. And I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until then, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, which we find in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.